the rants, the reaction, and the results. 0845 500 1025. The Open Line on Clyde 1 and Clyde 2 Super Scoreboard.
Yeah, we're back for the Open Line, 0845 500 1025. We'll take some calls in a moment. Jim Dillahunt here in the studio, Gordon DL, Roger Hannah and Fraser Wishart. Daryl King still at Rugby Park. The players are out in the field, Daryl?
Yeah, just waiting on them, Jim. The Kamarnock fans, more or less all of them have stayed in the ground. Obviously, just the last home game of the season, there's going to be a lap of honour. I think we may well see the League Cup as well.
I had a feeling you were going to say that. Might as well show it one last time.
Yes, I was here when the first home game after. They won the League Cup and it was party time, and fair play to them, Jim, milking it for all it's worth. It's been a fantastic season, and just watching Michael Johnson, the chairman, coming out just now. I don't know if he's possibly going to address the fans. I'm just waiting to see if that's a microphone or what's happening there, but he might just be about to tell them about this new co.
He might just be able to give them a number or something.
He has got a glove on.
Is he walking backwards?
Well, that pitch is like the surface of the moon.
Dear, if you weren't with us earlier, don't worry about it. 0845 500 1025 to get through to the Open Line this evening. Jerry's our first caller. Hi, Jerry.
Hello, Jim.
Hi there.
Hello, panel.
Hi, Jerry.
Hello, Jerry. What I would like to mention is, see all the discussions about the situation Rangers are in. I would like to think, put it this way, I understand the predicament the chairmans and all the other clubs and the financial situation with TV rights and all the rest of it. But at a minimum, and I mean this, if they don't, three things I'd like to see happen. See the SFA one about Rangers barred for a year on signing players.
Yep.
That'll need to be rescinded on the level of you can buy players, but once you've covered all your football debts, you understand what I mean?
Yeah, you can see where you're coming
from. Clubs. Mm-hmm. Now, as far as the SPL goes, if it is a new co, and I don't think for a minute Rangers are ever going to come out, liquidation or new co, that's what it's going to be. There's no way they're going to get an agreed CBA. Impossible. Under they'll just not get one, right? And I would say that 12 to 15 points the first 2 years, and 1 year with the financial restrictions. Now, if this Mr. Miller's trying to play hardball with SFA or the SPL, whatever consortium, and you've got to remember this. A lot of people are saying Rangers supporters will not go to away games. Now, knowing the atmosphere around in the whole of Scotland just now, and look at the crowds just now, do you think Celtic supporters will go away to away games next season? After this, it's all saying Rangers supporters will go. You think Celtic supporters will go to away games if Rangers got off scot-free? I'm just being realistic, and the thing is, what really annoys me is, if these men any courage or conviction, stand up and be counted. It's a sport. Stand up and be counted and take the ramifications or whatever way it goes, because there's a lot of people who just walk away from Scottish football as on a permanent basis. And if people walk away from Scottish football, they don't take their kids, they don't take their grandkids, and you'll have never have a generation in the future going to the game. I just like the panel's opinions, James.
Well, it's a sport, Roger, but it's a business.
It is a business as well. I mean, the possible sanctions you proposed there, Jerry, I don't think many people would have a problem with it at all. The difficulty for SPL chairman is they live with a commercial reality that if there's no Rangers in the SPL, it hits them in the pocket. And they are not going to propose any raft of sanctions against Rangers which could lead to Rangers dropping out of the league or could endanger a Sky broadcasting deal that could be worth £80 million over the next 5 years. I know exactly the point you're making about Celtic supporters, and I think some Celtic supporters, as you say, will vote with their feet and won't go to some away grounds. But the SPL chairman, they'll think they're damned if they do, they're damned if they don't, and they will make the decision that they think is in the financial best interest of their clubs. And Michael Johnson this afternoon has given the first hint of how they'll vote.
Is Michael Johnson addressing them, Daryl?
It's actually Kenny Shields at this moment in time, but it was a lovely moment there, Jim. Liam Kelly obviously came on last, and he was presented with his League Cup winner's medal, and he was given the chance to hold the trophy aloft. Of course, he was obviously denied that opportunity because of the tragic events at Hampden. Yeah. That day. So that's the first chance that Liam Kelly's had to do that. The players are all standing in the centre circle, and Liam Kelly was called forward by Michael Johnson, presented with his medal and given the cup to hold aloft, which was very nice to see. And he's a bit emotional, but you know, he was obviously not able to do that at Hampden because of those tragic consequences.
Yeah, that sounds like a great gesture, Gordon Dale.
Absolutely brilliant, Jim. You know, that's a very emotional time for Liam Kelly, and well done to Kilmarnock, well done to the chairman, and we can hear a manager in the background addressing the supporters. I'm sure every supporter of Kilmarnock Football Club is very happy with the manager, the team and the season they've had, and to win a trophy has been absolutely excellent for them. So great gesture, emotional gesture, well done Kilmarnock Football Club.
And we can't underestimate the significance of a club like Kilmarnock winning a major trophy.
It doesn't happen often. I mean, I think it's great. Hibs and Hearts on the final at the end of the season as well. Gives us a real different type of cup final to look forward to. It's never happened for a long, long time. It's happened before at Hampden, and for Kilmarnock, brilliant, absolutely brilliant. You know that non-Old Firm clubs win a trophy, and there's a spread of the trophies going across the board. They deserved it on the day, I thought, and for the way Kenny Shields going about his business, maybe it's just reward, but it doesn't happen very often. And the thousands of Kilmarnock fans that are there will celebrate it because they might not see it again for a number of years.
Jerry, thanks very much for your call. Frank is going to be our next caller here on Clyde 1 and Clyde 2 Super Scoreboards open line tonight. Hi, Frank.
Good evening, Jim.
Good evening. Yeah,
can I ask a quick straw poll, first of all, of the people on your panel? You've been told that clubs in the SPL will fold, basically, if Rangers don't get allowed back in as a new club. Could I ask the panel who agrees with this premise?
Who agrees with this premise, right? Okay, Fraser?
Well, I've not been told they'll fold, Frank. I've told that they'll find themselves in financial difficulties, so yes, I agree with it.
Roger?
I would tend to agree with it. I don't know intimately, Frank, the financial situation of all the SPL clubs, but I know Stephen Brown, the St Johnson chairman, has said he fears clubs will go to the wall. I know Peter Houston, the Dundee United manager, has said an SPL without Rangers would cost them £600,000 a season, and at a time when they've got debts into many millions of pounds, I think they would be in danger. And just by the way Michael Johnson's talking today, and by the fact that his club is in debt to several million pounds, and he throws open three sides of Rugby Park to Old Firm fans at every opportunity, I think that leads you to believe that they would be in danger.
I don't think that clubs would actually go to the wall, Jim. What I think would happen is that there'd be a lot of SPL clubs going part-time. Mm-hmm. I think the quality of player they were able to sign would be completely different from what they've got now. I think the standard of our game would fall dramatically. And my answer is yes.
Daryl?
Yeah, I spoke to the director at St Mirren a couple of weeks ago, Jim, and he said that at their board meeting they'd worked out if Rangers weren't in the league it would cost them £1 million at St Mirren. They're probably probably the best well-off clubs in the league. Whether they folded or not, I don't know, but they've certainly been in serious financial trouble, I'd imagine, one or two of them.
Straight answers for you, Frank.
Yeah, that's fine. My second point, my point is following on from that now. We've been drip-fed continually, daily, on a daily basis now, basically, that this scenario, this doomsday scenario for all the clubs, basically, if you don't let Rangers in, you're going to the wall. And chairman are trying to promote this idea as well to the fans, so that they can basically ring-fence their finances. My point here is, could the panel all tell me, or anybody that can tell me, that of all the clubs who've been relegated from the SPL in the last, 10 years, say, apart from Gretna, who were up to the financial misdeed, could they tell me any club has been relegated, i.e. they've lost the satellite money, they've lost the visiting fans from Celtic and Rangers, could they tell me any club that's been relegated from the SPL who has folded?
Oh, clearly none.
Thank you. Therefore, what we've been fed is a complete bill of nonsense, and on the basis that there is no premise to clubs going without TV money or the Celtic and Rangers fans capitulating. What happens is they then cut their cloth according to their means. And do you know what? If our game in this country has any moral fibre at all, any integrity, all these words, which mean you run a sport as a sport and not to suit an individual club, then what must happen. If Rangers do not participate in the SPL next season, yes, possibly there will be a financial kickback. But that's life. And what we have in this country is a drip attempt by the press, media and others to allow Rangers back in on the premise that clubs will fold. There is no history of that happening. Clubs adjust their finances, the same as a family. If two parents are working and one loses their job, families have to rebudget. Yes, they make cuts, they make blah, 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 blah. They don't suddenly all die. They make cuts and adjust, and this is what clubs will have to face.
Yeah, Frank,
just to finish.
Right, go on then.
Just to finish, this game in this country, which has been watched by UEFA and other people, is going to be dealt, and the sanctions are going to be dealt with properly, or we are nothing more than morally corrupt and morally bereft of any moral fibre at all.
Gordon.
Right, I see your argument, Frank, but the way I look at it, I don't think that clubs will go to the wall. What I'm saying is, I think clubs will go eventually part-time. I think they'll need to cut back their staff. So where is the quality now left in our football? You've got Celtic that will sit at the top there. They'll have the League One by Christmas. The Celtic fans will be bored with that, let me tell you, after a couple of seasons. And the rest of the clubs will be struggling with part-time players with no quality and no people at their ground. Are you telling me that's the way forward for Scottish football?
I suspect, though, Frank, you wouldn't be bored if Celtic won the next 30 league titles.
No, Jim, listen, this isn't about what will happen. There's a lot of crystal ball gazing going on to the people who don't have a clue, but it's really a guessing. I'm not promoting Celtic winning the league for the next 10 years, Rangers being down in the gutter for the next 10 years. I am talking about this nonsense that we've been fed. Sometimes things change and people and clubs, etc., have to adjust. Now, that adjustment means your game has integrity. I'm not talking about kicking Rangers and to the benefit of Celtic here. I'm an ardent Celtic fan. What I'm talking about here is this drip nonsense that clubs will go to the wall. See, Gordon, you actually talked sense earlier, said clubs will have to, buy less quality of players. But do you know what? Let's look at Falkirk Football Club. When they were in the Premier League, when they were in the SPL, I think they're a healthier club now. I think they're a far healthier club because, you know what? They had to then adjust and let their young players play, etc., etc. Clubs who get relegated don't fold. They adjust and they actually, in many cases, become better clubs. So let's get away from this absolute nonsense. Ali McCoy's today said clubs will fold. And he said that. He actually said that's a fact, not a threat. It's a fact. Ali, you're talking nonsense, my friend. There is no precedent for it at all.
Frank, you're talking about us crystal ball gazing. You don't think you're crystal ball gazing yourself?
I'm talking about facts here, Fraser. Tell me a club who's folded without the satellite money, Fraser,
I'm not here to defend Rangers' new co going into the SPL with no sanctions. Absolutely not, Frank. I think that's the balance that has to be thought. But if you're a Premier League club and you're taking a very simplistic view on it, if there's no income and the income's cut, and I've heard figures of 1 million to 1.5 million to more, and then the people you owe money to say, how are you going to pay this bank? You say, well, we can't really. Well, okay, we'll call in our loan note. The banks will call in the loan note. What happens then? That's the issue here. It's not a simplistic issue. I don't pretend to have all the answers, Frank. All I'm telling you is that from inside the game, people are saying exactly that. Now, you from outside may have a view, and you have a view based on clubs being relegated, but the informed information, informed opinion at the moment is that is the case. There'll be half a dozen clubs who find themselves in real, real difficulty.
I think so. It's part of the problem as well. I understand what you're saying, Frank, about the teams that have gone down. Some of the teams that have gone down in recent seasons, you touched on Falkirk, the likes of Hamilton as well, they are clubs who didn't carry a great burden of debt with them when they went down, so they could rearrange their finances. If you listen to Michael Johnson talking about Kilmarnock or Stephen Thompson talking about Dundee United, these are clubs who have huge debts of their own, and they require the money from broadcasting deals and from Old Firm fans getting into their grounds effectively just to service their overdraft and keep their heads above water at the minute. And if they were denied that money, they would really struggle. And that's not me saying that, that's Michael Johnson and Stephen Thompson saying that. So it's not, this isn't something that, you know, you mentioned the media earlier on, it's not something driven by the media. You know, you spoke about facts and innuendo. These are the facts about Kilmarnock coming from the Kilmarnock chairman, the facts about Dundee United coming from the Dundee United chairman. And it's, you know, it's, the point you make about sporting integrity is bang on. But look at the quotes on Monday from Michael Johnson and today from Michael Johnson. On Monday, when he emerged from that SPL meeting at Hampden, he said they had to strike a balance between sporting integrity and commercial expediency. And then you've heard what he said today. He's clearly decided that the finances of his football club should outweigh any moral argument when these votes are taken.
Sounds as if he's stopping the royalties to Marie Osmond. Daryl, is it finished?
Yeah, it's finished. He's just wandering about in front of us. But, you know, I mean, Frank puts across his point passionately, Jim. But, you know, Frank would expect the custodians of his football club to act in Celtic's best interest all the time. Would Frank like it if a decision was made in the Celtic boardroom that would, you know, threaten the future of Celtic? And that's what he's asking the other chairman to do. I mean, he's right in what he's saying. But the bottom line is that the clubs that have gone down, they had no choice but to cut their cloth after that, Jim. Mm. That was forced upon them. What Frank's actually asking is for 10 chairmen of SPL clubs to vote and, you know, effectively self-inflict upon their own balance sheet. That's the bottom line. Who's going to do that? Who's going to take a decision that can put their own club at risk, even if it's meaning not folding? And Roger made the best point of all. You can't compare Falkirk going down and staying alive to Hearts having a debt of, what is it, 25 million, or Dundee United having a debt of 4 million, or I think this club's got a debt of £10 million. So Frank thinks if Kilmarnock went down to the first division, they would be able to survive with a debt of £10 million.
Staying alive with the Bee Gees.
Do you know what the simple answer is to this, Jim? You ask yourself before you come on this phone, and if you were sitting in the position of a chairman of any of the SPL clubs, who would you vote? That's your answer. And I think everybody would get the answer of saying, well, I'd vote to keep Rangers in the league.
And when people are talking about SPL, remember, their clubs, whichever club they support, whether it be Kilmarnock, St Mirren, whatever else, their chairman has a vote. It's not been imposed upon their club. And that's where it's been the argument for a long time, is it's morals versus the financial reality. And it is a business. And if Rangers are relegated three divisions and it costs hundreds of people their job, not just players, other people at clubs, and I've seen the devastation at clubs like Inverness and Falkirk, where they've had to dismantle the youth system, their community system, people behind the scenes lose their jobs as well because of relegation. It's a dreadful time, and if that's what people would like to see, is hundreds of people lose their jobs, then I can understand the argument, absolutely understand the argument, and I think that's where the interesting part will be, because I think that a new co is going to be let into the SPL. It seems that's the way that the clubs are heading. But is it with sanctions or without sanctions? And that's the interesting part of it.
Thanks, Frank. 0845 500 1025. Back after these.
Put the boot into the panel. 0845 500 1025. The open line on Clyde 1 and Clyde 2 Super Scoreboard.
Welcome back. 0845 500 1025 all the way up till 6 o'clock this evening. Let's take another call. Laurie's on the line. Hi, Laurie.
Good evening.
Good evening.
How you doing?
Fine, thanks.
My point is, first and foremost, Jim, I'd like to dig you up a bit. Last night, your Half Five Sports Bulletin last night referred to Sasa Papic being the first to do walking away, and then you mentioned that about three or four times during the course of last night's programme. I thought that was pretty disingenuous of Sasa Papic. He was always leaving at the end of this season. It was really a kind of incendiary red top comment, if I can be so blunt.
I'm glad you didn't like it. On you go.
I'm sure you're glad. I guess listeners gone.
Carry on, mate. I'm letting you speak. Go on.
I've got it's a pity you and Mark Guidi aren't on tonight, because over the last couple of nights they've bladed Rangers, for want of a better expression, for the fact that they couldn't separate the corporate entity and the blame from Craig White. And the previous chairman, David Murray, who I've got no time for either. And I've never had any time for, I think Daryl will probably confirm that. I've got to take issue with that fact. When corporate entities go down, when folk get stuck in about Rangers, they're getting stuck into me, they're getting stuck into the folk that work there, they're getting stuck into the players, they're getting stuck into the management team. I'm wanting sanctions this, sanctions that. yet we can't disassociate Craig White from the mess he's put us in. Well, how does it work then when Fred Goodwin is the man who takes the blame for Royal Bank? Even and hence the reason I wanted to speak to Daryl and Hugh about this.
Because Daryl's here.
Mark Guidi, rather, right. Beg your pardon. Mark Guidi and Hugh Keevers. I don't blame them for Bob Maxwell stiffing pensioners, do I? It's individuals. How can you punish an entity for an individual's, want a better word, criminality in my book?
Daryl, you want to pick that up?
Yeah, I can see where Laurie's coming from. I think it's, again, as Fraser said many times, it's about trying to find a balance of punishment. I don't think anyone at Rangers has spoken on the subject, Alan McCoy, Sandy Jardine being the figureheads recently, Jim, have said that they don't deserve to be punished, but it's where you draw the line and how far you go. And, Craig White came in and caused massive destruction at the club. There's no question of that. You see almost on a weekly basis more things coming out in courts in London and some of the stuff that's been going on. It was shocking, and I still think there'll be more to come. Sir David Murray isn't taking a lot of the blame for what's happened, but he did pass the club on to him and caused his own mayhem beforehand, Jim. So you're right, but what does Laurie think should happen in terms of punishment?
Well, do I think should happen? I'm happy to go to third division. I'm happy to go to third division because it'll be totally frank what they want. I'm happy for it. I mean, I've got no qualms about going down there.
Fair enough.
What you've got to remember, Laurie, is it is a sport, and sport's got to look wider, Laurie, and you cannot separate the owners, whoever they are, from any football club and the club itself. It's the club that's a member of the SFA, the club's a member of the SPL, and it's a sport, just the way that they have the rules. And if fans are guilty of sectarian singing or racist singing, then they're punished. It wasn't the club that did it; it would be the supporters. There's lots of things that the club are deemed to be responsible for, and I agree, Laurie. You can't. I agree with you. What can Rangers fans do? What can Rangers players do? What can Alan McCoy do about the stuff that's going on with David Murray and Craig White? There's probably not a lot, but in the end, it's the club. When Craig White moves on, then it's them that's got to take the responsibility, and it's not fair. It's absolutely not fair. But there has to be a bit of sporting integrity about it.
I think, though, Fraser, what Michael Johnson has done this afternoon, if nothing else, is he's finally nailed this notion that Rangers will go to the third division. He's basically intimated that SPL chairman value Rangers so highly in terms of the finance they bring to the league, and the fact that that will safeguard the Sky and ESPN contract, that the SPL will not do anything that would push Rangers out of the SPL.
Can I come in there with integrity and morality?
On you go.
Listen, I hear guys like Frank, I hear guys like Michael Johnson. Well, Michael Johnson, to be fair, at least he's put his neck above the parapet. But guys going about integrity and morality in Scottish football, I can name you every club in Scotland. Integrity and morality, I'm in my mid-40s. I've never seen any integrity and morality in Scottish football. It's me, self-interest. It's been ever thus and it'll be ever thus.
And it'll always be the same, and your club's been the same over the years as well, Laurie, and I've voted, and every club will vote exactly the same way on Monday, and Celtic may well vote to allow Rangers in as well, Motherwell may allow as well, and that's where the fans of any club, whoever they support, have got to look and say, it's not the SPL, it's not a different body, they run the game, the 12 clubs run the game, and the 12 chairmen, including the chairman of every fan that's listening here, we'll decide on this matter, and it's a difficult one to call.
Goal for Chelsea, Gordon DL.
Yeah, 1-0, Jim, after 11 minutes on the clock. Mata plays a great ball through to Ramirez. He just shrugs off Enrique and he fires it low and hard into the net, and a great start for Chelsea in the FA Cup final. 11 minutes on the clock, Chelsea 1, Liverpool 0.
John's our next caller. Hi, John.
Hi, guys, how are you doing?
Fine, thank you, John.
What is I get the feeling that Rangers are holding Scottish football to ransom, and the reason why I say that, obviously, the condition Rangers are in just now, the creditors, you get the supporters saying, let's go down to the third division and stuff the lotties. Now, at the end of the day, terrible attitude, because Rangers have brought a lot of shame, obviously upon themselves, but not for the first time. And I'm going to say something that probably nobody wants to talk about, sweep it under the carpet. They're saying that I do believe myself, we do need Rangers as a Celtic supporter. But there's a lot of talk about why the Celtic supporter are gloating so much. And my answer to that is because, well, if we go back 30 years, Rangers had a policy of no signing Roman Catholics, and that never gets mentioned. But you can't.
It's mentioned all the time, John.
Why
are you bringing that up in the context of the current argument? It gets mentioned all the time.
Because, Jim, I think it's important. As I say, this is a programme where people are allowed to come on and have their views. Now, it is a football view, because at the end of the day, I'll repeat it, Rangers had a policy of no signing Catholics.
Right.
A person like myself.
You've managed to get that out twice, John, so what is your point?
The point is, I think Rangers are holding Scottish football to ransom.
OK, well, we'll answer that one, Daryl.
Well, you know, it remains to be seen what happens with this decision, Jim, but you could take that viewpoint if, as I say, and I don't know if this is the case, but you wonder if the new code's put on the table with, we'll be followed through if there's no sanctions at all. And if you put any sanctions on us, then we'll apply to the SFL.
Yeah.
So, you know, Rangers are going to win out of that situation. It wouldn't surprise me, I don't know for sure, Jim, but it wouldn't surprise me if Bill Miller's discussions with Neil Doncaster have centred on, I will form this club and it will come back into this league, but I won't do it if there's any sanctions. I think that will certainly be at the forefront of his negotiating stance, that, you know, why would you buy a club and bring it back in into a league and have all these sanctions on you? You're going to have even more financial mayhem to deal with than the European situation. You know, if you've got transfer embargoes, it doesn't make much sense to me, you know, if he's wanting to pick something up that's going to effectively be, you know, decapitated in the SPL in terms of even challenging for anything for maybe, 2 years, 3 years, whatever it may be, some of the sanctions that people want. So you could say that, he is attempting to hold Scottish football to ransom if that's the case.
Yeah, the four of us sitting here in the studio, Daryl, know exactly where you're coming from, but I'll put two words back to you. Surely not.
Well, why not from his point of view?
Well, why not from the SPL? Surely the SPL cannot have agreed with Bill Miller that there will be no sanctions.
Well, if you look at what Neil Doncaster said the other night, I thought that was pretty startling. I thought that was the first time that it was beginning to come out, Jim, that he's saying, you know, there was no football sanctions with the, you know, English clubs and mentioning that kind of thing, as if it was a preparation of the ground there, and he saw another step towards that today. It's as if, remember, we always had discussions, Jim, about how Craig White was preparing Rangers for administration.
Yes.
And it came to pass. Mm-hmm. And as I say, you know, what did the SPL do then? If Bill Miller is in a very, very tough negotiating position with him and saying, okay, if you give me any sanctions at all, I will apply it to the SFL. What did he do? They're damned if they do, damned if they don't.
Roger, what do you make of it?
It's very difficult. I mean, John may well have a point about Rangers holding and Bill Miller holding the SPL to ransom. Could the SPL conceivably call his bluff and say, right, that's fair enough, on you go to the SFL and see how you got on down there? At the minute, I don't think there is a mechanism for Rangers to go to the SFL. They would have to go, they would have to apply.
The SFL of 30 clubs, so how'd they fit in?
Yeah, they would have to apply for membership. They would have to hope that, I think, today confirmed that Dundee finished second in the first division.
Nothing to say that.
But again, it takes us back, Fraser, to the old making it up as we go along.
And we are.
Absolutely.
The way people tend to do it in Scottish football authorities.
A new club applies for a licence from the SFA in the first instance.
That's
they
right,
go to
Darryl.
The SFA first and they ask for a licence. If that's granted, then they apply to a league.
Yeah.
So he could turn in and say, well, I'm not applying to the SPL. I want to apply to play in the SFL.
Yeah.
But what I'm saying here is they've got 30 clubs. They don't need another club at the moment. And there's no sort of mechanism for an automatic promotion of, say, Dundee into the SPL.
Mm-hmm.
And therefore, Dundee might have to say, right, well, we'd apply for the SPL. Yeah. But they've got to serve 2 years' notice unless they get permission from the SFL Management Committee. So what happens? There's a no-win situation. But I mean, I agree with you. And I've been talking about it. Thinking about it over the piece, you know, Bill Miller's just made an offer. He just looked at it and thought, made an offer.
And it's all
here. And is he Rangers? No, he's not at the moment. Are the administrators Rangers? No, the administrators are there for the creditors. They're in for the best interests of the creditors. They have to take the best deal. Newcos are done in any other walk of life, but the problem is that in Scottish football they haven't been done. And football is a sport and it has to protect its own integrity. It's making up as it goes along. There is no easy answer to this, and no matter what happens, a lot of people are going to be in uproar about it.
And it's coming at a time of year as well where both the SPL and SFL are turning their attentions to fixtures for next season. Mm-hmm. And how on earth can you draw a fixture list if you don't know what teams are going to be in your divisions?
Remember the language from the administrators as well, Jim. He's been giving comfort.
Yes.
And what does comfort mean?
You know, a blanket.
If somebody gives you comfort, then usually that's something you're quite happy with.
Mm-hmm. Yep, it's a strange one. John, thanks very much indeed. Daryl, thank you very much indeed. We'll speak to you very
Cheers.
Soon. Daryl King was down at Rugby Park for us with Ian McCall. Thanks to him as well. We are back after these.
The open line is here until 6, 0845 500 1025. Clyde 1 and Clyde 2, Super Scoreboard.
I do believe there would be a threat to the livelihood of maybe some other clubs in the SPL if that were to happen, in terms of the finance of Scottish football, sponsors and television money and things like that. It's a massive, massive issue. The right thing to do might be the wrong thing in the long run, so it's a big problem.
Ali McCoys, today, as the Rangers debate continues, James is our next caller. Hi, James.
Hi, guys. How you doing?
Fine, thanks, James.
What it is, first of all, I'm a Celtic fan. Really, really, really disgruntled Celtic fan. I've been a season ticket holder now for about 25 years. The season before, the centenary season. And all through that period, we had to watch Rangers having all their success. Spending, initially at the start, obviously spending money they did have, but that was through David Murray ciphering a lot of money for his other companies and putting it into Rangers. But laterally, we were up against it as well, with Rangers spending money really that they never had. And what pains me is that everybody's talking about would they like to see Celtic winning the league by 10, 20, 30 points a season or whatever. Well, that's what Rangers were basically doing when they'd done 9 in a row and they were given legendary status. They never really had but any competition, barring I think it was the first season when Aberdeen took them to Ibrox in the last game of the season when Mark Hatley and Mark Walters, I think it was, scored the 2 goals when they won 2-1 or 2-0. So we had to suffer quite a lot. That's an initial point. And really, basically, what I was wanting to talk about is talking about no sanctions getting imposed against Rangers. And I've thought about this really long and hard, and I'm a really, really avid fan, avid Celtic fan, and everybody that knows me will say that. But the thing I'm wanting to talk about is saying that I don't want Rangers to go out of existence, and I don't want Rangers to get relegated or anything, because I want the Rangers fans, and not in personal against them, but I want Rangers fans to have to suffer season in, season out, like we had to suffer no winning anything. But the real point is I'm obviously a Celtic holder, but there's a lot of fans around about me, and I've been talking to a lot of Celtic fans, and we're getting really we're disillusioned with this now. That the talk, aye, fair enough, we don't need the Rangers, and I agree with it, we don't need Rangers because all for them games are great and Rangers are part of Scottish football and a big huge part of it, but they need to be punished as well. And for talk about it, first of all, to get let in, keep kept in the SPL, that's fair enough. But then talk about possibly no sanctions. Well, if Rangers are such a big part of Scottish football, well, Celtic are equally part of Scottish, a big part of Scottish football. And as I say, there's a lot of disgruntled season ticket holders with what's going on around about where I sit as well. And we're all, and I know a lot of our Celtic fans out with the stadium and that as well. And we're actually all thinking about maybe starting a campaign up on Celtic's behalf. No, maybe not actually on Celtic's behalf, but in a roundabout way, in Celtic's behalf, saying that if there is no stiff sanctions taken against Rangers, if they get away with this scot-free, then what about all the Celtic fans that maybe withdraw their season tickets for Celtic, or write to Celtic if we start a campaign up and say, well, if Celtic don't take a strong stance against us and make sure that there are strong sanctions imposed against Rangers, then we will all withdraw our season ticket money and that. Right. And it would really, really pain me, really, really,
okay.
It would pain me to my core because Celtic is my life.
Okay, but James Roger wants basically his own club to take a stand in this, but that is not going to happen.
I can understand James's point of view, and I can understand the points of view of the people who sit around about him at Celtic Park. If you don't take your season ticket, James, what I would say is that the only club you're hurting is your own club. I can understand there was a caller earlier on talking about potentially boycotting away games, you know, to punish clubs who may vote to keep Rangers in the SPL with no sanction. That would be wholly understandable, but you know, if you don't buy a season ticket for Celtic Park, it's only revenue. The only club you're denying revenue to is Celtic.
I think that was what he was meaning, though.
Yeah.
I think that was meaning that he would do that if Celtic.
He would
didn't,
be so
didn't
annoyed.
Be
with,
sorry, James. Yeah, if I
he'd
take
be
you
so
the
annoyed
way.
With Celtic that he would hit Celtic.
Well, I don't think anyone at Celtic has said that they will vote this through. It's people like, you know, so far Michael Johnson has said so far, you know, that clubs may well vote it through. I think it's worth, if there is a vote taken on Monday, I don't think there's any guarantee there will be a vote on Monday. It could be a vote, you know, sometime later in the summer, James. It is worth noting down the way the voting went at the meeting before any decisions are taken by yourself or any of your friends.
James, thank you very much indeed. Stephen is going to be our next caller on the programme this evening. Hi, Stephen.
Hi there.
Hello, Stephen.
Hi there, you were talking earlier on about all the SPL clubs that are millions of pounds in debt, the same as what Rangers are. And if Rangers get back into the league without any sanctions, what's to stop these other clubs just doing the same as what Rangers have done?
Probably nothing.
Well, that's the point. That's not very good for the game here then, is it?
Well, you look at clubs in the past that have gone into administration, Motherwell went into administration, Livingston.
No, I'm talking about starting up as a new co just to save your money, just to stop, just start up a new co, get let back in, then you start back in with no debt, no sanctions, the same as what Rangers have done.
Can we, to answer your question, what's to stop them? Nothing is to stop them at all. But I don't think, you know, Rangers are doing this as a last resort because there is no other way out of this, Stephen Fulham. I think the other clubs would like to hope that if they went into, initially, administration, there'd be some way they'd be able to achieve CVAs and come out it the way the likes of Livingston and the likes of Motherwell and the likes of Dundee have done it in the past. Rangers are only going down this new co route because, as things stand today, Bill Miller is the only guy there waiting to try and lead Rangers out of this financial mire, and this is the way he wants to go.
The interesting question, Stephen, and I know exactly where you're coming from, but the argument will be from the clubs and from the SPL is that Rangers are still trying to do a CVA, old co. And the issue for me comes, what happens if they cannot do the CVA? But if they can, then the creditors are satisfied, just the same way as they went directly just now and did a CVA. Creditors are happy, they vote it through. I mean, not happy, but they vote it through and get the best they can. And if that's the same 6 months down the line, and old co goes back into with new co and it reapplies to the league, the argument is, what is the difference between just doing an administration just now? I don't know the technicalities of it all, but for me, the issue comes, if new co are into the SPL next year, while old co are trying to do a CVA, if this makes any sense, what happens What happens if they can't?
We might get a game with the old co there.
What happens if they can't? What happens if 6 months down the line, they can't do a deal with creditors and the old co is liquidated, then I don't know. It's
and the other one to phrase this, without complicating this any further, is when they so-called bring old co back to join in with new co, then that's another new co.
Which then you get bill co.
which you have to then apply to the SPL to get back in.
And the players again have to be transferred across under Tupi.
Very me.
The assets have to be as well.
Stephen, thanks for raising that. 0844, rather not, 0845 500 1025. Thomas is our next caller on the programme this evening. Good evening to him. Hi, Thomas.
Good evening, Jim. Panel, evening. How are you guys?
Thank you, Thomas.
Jim, the other night there, I read with interest that the Rangers fans were protesting against Bill Muller's takeover of Rangers. Like, where do Rangers stand if Bill Muller pulls the plug on the deal, if the protest gets out of hand for him?
There certainly weren't any protests against Bill Miller today, so I think their heads have been turned, Gordon, by the words of Ali McCoist and Sandy Jordan.
Yeah, I think the Rangers supporters are starting to listen to Sandy Jordan and Ali McCoist saying, listen, we have to give this guy a chance. There's no other option at this moment in time, Jim. They've got to trust in what's happening. I think Roger made a good point before we come on air that in the paper today Brian Kennedy was giving his support to it, so I think that, like everybody else, my only concern is I would like to see Bill Miller in this country. I would like to see him addressing the Rangers supporters, try to tell him what his plans are to take the club forward, but at this moment in time, Bill Miller's only show in town, we've got to go with it.
But I think that's a good point, though, that's not been thought of. I don't think he's got exclusivity at the moment as well.
He hasn't
Hasn't bought all of that, but he'll be having a look, and he'll be speaking to all the parties. It won't just be about the financial stuff of the administrator. There'll be football regulations, sanctions, the whole thing. And it's a good question. What if he looks at it and thinks, I'm a serious businessman. I can't push this one through.
Yeah.
I'm out of here. You know, I mean, I think that if you went back to Blue Knights and Brian Kennedy, you know, within the next week, they might still be saying, right, okay, we'll help out. But if it's a couple of weeks or 3 weeks or 4 weeks down the line, it's not going to happen. So, I mean, we are hypothesising, because I think that Bill Miller must have convinced the administrators who are involved in this kind of thing before that he is absolutely serious. And if he's lodged all the money and it's sitting somewhere, then he is serious. But that is a possibility.
Yeah, he could walk away, Roger Hannah.
He certainly could walk away, and you just don't know what would be left for Rangers then. I think Duffin Phelps, in the first instance, as Fraser suggests, would go back to the Blue Knights. But you have to remember, the Blue Knights isn't one guy. It's a consortium of businessmen, and I'm quite sure some of those guys involved may have had enough. They may have decided that, you know, they can't do a deal with Duffin Phelps, they can't achieve a CVA, they've no hope of getting a hold of Craig White's shareholding in the club, which is still vital. Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, the Blue Knights, if they are to come back to the table in some shape or form, I think, as Fraser hinted, it will have to be very, very soon. Which, or not at all.
Which brings it back to your argument, Jimmy, earlier when you said, is this the last game at Ibrox for a long time?
Well, what would happen if the Blue Knights can't do a deal, no other bidder can be found, is that Duff and Phelps would have to call in a firm of liquidators.
Yeah, and they would just start selling off assets and trying to and who would pay back as many of the creditors as possible. Mr. C. White.
Mr. C. White would walk away with an absolute fortune. Thomas, thanks for your call. 0845 500 1025. Back after these.
The rants, the reaction, and the results. 0845 500 1025. The open line on Clyde 1 and Clyde 2 Super Scoreboard.
Welcome back to the final part of today's Clyde 1 and Clyde 2 Super Scoreboard. We're in the open line. 0845 500 1025. The number as ever. Pat is our next caller. Hi, Pat.
Hello there, Jim.
Hello there.
I hope you guys are getting your business analyst degrees in the summer.
Yeah.
You need them.
MBAs.
Yeah. Listen, I've got a number of sort of points. My main point's about the SFA, but leading up to it, one of your panellists earlier spoke about, football, it's a sport, but it's also a business. But see, without the sport and integrity, you have no business. You can't lose sight of that. It's folly to lose sight of that. That's one point. See, the point about the clubs who could go out of business because they're in debt, then it seems to me that they could do the same thing as Rangers are doing. Become UCOs, and it would seem silly to actually vote in new procedures that would stop them doing what they're actually going to enable Rangers to do. So I don't see that argument stands up about clubs in debt. They've got a way out. Do the same thing as Rangers have done. Third thing is, Celtic are going to lose income if Darrell's suggestion, that Bill Miller's bargaining point is that, he won't come in unless they're in the SPL. Celtic will lose income from that. I cannot see them standing back and saying, that's fine, we've been outvoted, we'll take that. Celtic will oppose any notion like that. And my final point is the point I come on about. The SFA have got a role. Their role, in my view, is to protect the integrity of the game. The SPL, quite rightly, have got commercial interests. They cannot indulge in contracts that affect the integrity of the game, like the one you talk about, which requires four Rangers-Celtic games in a season. You can't have that as a qualification or a clause in a contract. It damages the integrity of Scottish football. But the SFA have got a role to play. They're in the power to grant licences or not grant licences. And as things stand, a new UCO could not be granted a licence under the licensing rules of the SFA. So what exactly are the SFA doing about this? That's my question.
Can you tell me, first of all, Pat, why the SFA couldn't grant a new UCO licence?
Because according to their website, the SFA licensing is covered for clubs going into the SPL, not the lower down. Lower down is covered by national club licensing. But for the SPL, it's actually covered by UEFA club licensing. There are not two licensing processes. There is only one. And that one process is, if a club qualifies by winning the title for Europe, then they've got the license, to do that. But if they fail the criteria, it follows that, they can't play in the SPL either. It's only one set of licensing processes. So the SFA have got the power to say, we will grant a license or not. And as things stand, if they are bound, according to the website, they will use UEFA FFP licensing criteria. If that's the case, then how can they, they have to follow that process. There is, in the process, the ability to have an exception. But my reading of that is it requires going to UEFA. And I think that will give UEFA real difficulties because they are supposed to stand for integrity. And this is really what the problem is. Is football, it has to be a sport in order to be a business. And if you lose sight of that, and the SFA are the check and balance on the commercial aspect, and I don't think they're doing their job.
Never mind your business brain, Roger. How's your legal brain?
About as bad as my business brain, I have to admit, Jim. The first thing, I don't think the SFA can intervene at all in a commercial arrangement between the SPL and Sky or ESPN. If Sky and ESPN want to insert clauses into broadcast arrangements with the SPL that the SPL are happy with, that's just an agreement between two people. Between two companies that no one can intervene with. It's not breaching any company law. You can have as many clauses as you like. The SPL, the SFA, I should say, as moral guardians of the game, what are they doing? Well, they initiated the process against Craig White and Rangers of seven charges, which culminated in fines of £360,000 to club and owner, the transfer embargo, and those other sanctions. In terms of licensing, what can they do? if there is a clause in there that says Rangers can, you know, get into the SPL, get a licence to play in the SPL in exceptional circumstances, a little bit like what's happening with the SPL vote at the minute, I am pretty sure, rightly or wrongly, and whether it's morally right or morally bankrupt, Rangers will get a licence.
Gordon?
Yeah, I totally agree. It's been a long day, Jim. My head's sore, but I totally agree with what Roger said there. I do think next season, and there's no rights or wrongs to this, I totally agree. I think that Rangers will be in the SPL, and I think they have to be in the SPL. I know all the arguments from every side, but for the benefit of Scottish football, I think they've got to be there.
Thank you, Pat. Eddie's our last caller tonight. Hi, Eddie.
Hello.
Hello there.
Hi, Eddie.
Hey, does the panel think, right, I've listened to you for the last hour defending Rangers and try to stick up for them, right? See if Rangers walk away scot-free. I want to ask you, is Scottish football corrupt?
So well, for a start, Eddie, we haven't been defending Rangers. We've been trying to explain to you what Michael Johnson, the chairman of Kilmarnock, and Stephen Thompson, the chairman of Dundee United, and Neil Doncaster, the SPL chief executive, have been saying over the last few days. That's not defending Rangers. That is explaining the stance of SPL clubs and the SPL hierarchy. Now, there will be people, including yourself, who will come on and will come on with an agenda and want us to be defending Rangers. We're not defending Rangers. If you actually listen, you'll hear us saying our opinion is Rangers deserve sporting sanctions and other sanctions because they have wronged people.
Thanks very much, Eddie. Finishing the SPL today, Kilmarnock 1, Aberdeen 1, St Mirren 0, Inverness 1. At Ibrox, it was goalless between Rangers and Motherwell. Ali McCoys was proud of some of his younger players.
Kids have been great. They've come in and handled it really well. The one thing that you don't really get with kids is naturally a great, a high level of consistency. The youngsters in the squad at Murray Park have been really, really good, and we certainly wouldn't have a problem with throwing them in a more regular basis.
Been a tough few months for Ross Perry.
Obviously, it's been a sort of testing time of late, but thankfully it's sort of, can see a light at the end of the tunnel. Hopefully all things will get resolved and we'll be able to come back next season and everything will be normal again.
What about the game, Ali?
It's really difficult to be too critical of the players, but at the same time, you've got a job to do. We didn't play well. We looked a little bit heavy-legged with chances to win the game. It sort of just looked a end-of-season game, to be quite frank.
Thanks very much to everyone around the grounds and here in the studio this afternoon on Clyde 1 and Clyde 2 Super Scoreboard. But most of all, thanks to all of you for listening. Night-night.